Wisconsin Public Radio from...
Good morning, I'm Scott Nelson of WGTD, and on today's episode of the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show, our special guest today is Miss Kelly Armstrong, president of the Kenosha Innovation Neighborhood. So John, Steve, let's talk some Fab Lab.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Fab Lab 10 a.m. It's really exciting to be here today. John and I are here, and we got an awesome guest today.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And shout out to Scott, our host. Thank you, Scott. Our guest today is Kelly Armstrong, and she is the president of the Kenosha Innovation Neighborhood. So on Fab Lab 10 a.m., of course, we focus on Fab Lab.
The term, and everyone's wondering what's happening on the site, of course, is a 107-acre site in the center of Kenosha, vacated by the Chrysler plant. I believe we'll talk through some of that, too, as we go forward. But thanks for having me.
This is great. We're really excited to have you on as a guest today because, for me personally, it's a direct tie to what we do in terms of the civil engineering and architecture program. Because the old Chrysler location had great to finally have some real positive traction going on here. In terms of the site itself, what do you think of it in terms of the site and in terms of how it's been processed and ready to go now to become a vibrant part of Kenosha again?
I think that the city leadership and this putting that foundation in place with the foresight, the planning, the thought process that's gone into it, and to see these buildings start to go up. So obviously the first building that's going up, which Gateway is a part of as well, is the Lakeview Tech Academy High School. And then Gateway has a presence in there too. So I know, John, we're going to talk some more about that.
I think, right?
We talk about all the fabulous technology that's in there and available to the public and everyone around, right, that wants to partake in that. And then also we have our Kenosha Innovation Center.
Yeah. I've spoken with several people over the past couple of years about this project, and it's really wonderful. And if I understand it correctly, it's kind of an attempt to keep everything kind of in one location. So you can work in the neighborhood that you shop in, that you go to school in, or where your kids go to school. And they've always talked about Fab Labs and makerspaces in these and how those benefit the community. So those are typically what people talk to me about. But
I think those are great points because that is everything that KIN encompasses. And looking, I think education is such a big part of it. It's a big goal, making sure that young people have access, but also see, right? I mean, you're talking about civil engineering and architecture, interning, but even younger than that, coming in to see what does that function mean? What does that mean? Is that a career path that I might be interested in? How do I know if I'm never exposed to it?
Right.
So making sure that students are exposed to, you know, the technical jobs that are required today, which is all over the board. I think what's really interesting too, especially when you get into the manufacturing sector, is manufacturing itself has this perception, right? But if you start getting into the weeds on what that is, and I know you guys were talking about your love of guitars, but think about it, even manufacturing guitars, even innovation within how you make a guitar, can you 3D print a guitar? All of these pieces have components that I think if students are more exposed to those, then they can get excited about being in manufacturing, about being in civil engineering, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where I was really, really excited because I didn't know you personally, but to see that we finally got a really good president. You're the first president of this organization, and we finally got this organization off the ground here in Kenosha. Years ago, just to let people know, we actually did a senior design project for that site. Some dude from Disney had retired and moved up to the area and wanted to do a butterfly amusement park. So we actually did this useful for 100 plus acres to be a butterfly museum park. And
is it an amusement for the butterflies?
I'm not quite. It was in terms of the idea, there was a lot of animation going on with it and stuff that he wanted to do. And the ideas kept on changing. It was a very challenging but real-world application for our students at the time because we weren't allowed to land survey it because of what was going on with the reclamation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave us the data files for the land, so we did the outside area. But then he had this design. Then 3 weeks later, he wanted to scrap these designs and moving them around. He'd come in with these post-it notes on the stuff that we'd print out and then change everything again. Our students were going crazy. It, like I said, would be envisioned in that spot in terms of usefulness. And that's why the mixed-use one made total sense, and that's what we recommended. But in terms of the application, it was interesting to do what you're actually now doing in terms of trying to figure out how these pieces come into play. Now, we did it just ourselves. Mm-hmm. You have a whole host of team that's behind you. You have a awesome architect on board in Epstein Ewing. They're amazing out of Milwaukee. You also have the Smith Group. I believe was the original planners.
For the land use plan.
And they worked with Kimley Horn. Turns out of North Carolina. So that's their headquarters. Yeah, the reason I know that, I went to grad school in North Carolina. But so you had a lot of major talent that helped you out developing this plan.
And it's great that you bring that up, because I think people are just physically not mental remediation. All of that work has to be done. And that's not stuff that the public can readily see all the time happening. And so it is very exciting to actually see the earth moving, these buildings coming up. But there is a lot of work that goes into that ahead of time. So even though it's you would physically see the movement of dirt, right?
And that's what was so exciting about the site itself when it finally got cleared of remediation. Because, I mean, it was a manufacturing center, so there was stuff there and it had to be cleaned up. And all the
testament too to Kenosha's history of these innovative companies, right? I think they're 105 years old. And then you've got Jockey that's right there on 60th. Again, just a heritage company that's helped build Kenosha over the years.
And to me, the whole innovation neighborhood is a way to really, really reinvest in your community and get your base charged at all the interesting things to do. You mentioned Lakeview Academy. And Gateway is no stranger to working with them. And a lot of their stuff is engineering and problem-based learning and hands-on activities. So to see that particular charter school, well, I don't think it's a charter.
Because oftentimes, because we live in the Midwest, we're very automobile-centric, right? But we kind of take for granted how easy that is for transportation. But not everybody has access to that. Not everybody owns the vehicle. And so looking at making sure that accessibility for all is and is just a priority for us, 100%.
Now, I'm sensing intense complexity to you. So tell us a little more about yourself. What's your background? Where do you come from? You mentioned you originally started out in Louisville, right?
I am from Louisville. I'm actually a military brat, so my dad was
sir.
In the military. And so I moved around quite a bit and then grew up primarily in Fort Knox, Louisville area after a certain point. I went to college in Iowa, University of Northern Iowa, and started my family and my career there, and then wound up getting real intentional about economic development, made a move back to Louisville, worked for the Regional Economic Development Organization there, and then eventually came to Wisconsin in 2016 to work for the state Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. And that, which was interesting from the Fab Lab perspective, was to focus on manufacturing across the state and look at projects and augmenting and supporting manufacturers and our manufacturing ecosystem. So one of the really cool, and I know I'm digressing just a little bit here, but I'm really excited about it and completely relevant to the announcements that were just taking place here recently, is that one of the projects I worked was the Connected Systems Institute, so the CSI Institute at UW-Milwaukee. And so that was a really cool project to work. And then I found my way to Green Bay and ran economic development there across Brown County for the Greater Green Bay Chamber. And that was a fantastic experience. Wonderful community. I think Kenosha and Green Bay have a lot of similarities and a lot of uniqueness in themselves. So it's fantastic to be here. And I'm excited about the scope of work. I think what's really interesting as well, just the mission of this work, but the scope, and it covers so much. And I don't like to sit idle, so I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon with this project, for
sounds
sure.
Sounds to me like it's the perfect combination of elements, experience, and education that has brought you to our doorstep. So tell us a little more about the neighborhood itself. Physically, what is it? Can you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. So I think the neighborhood itself, right, is somewhat on a revitalization. So I'm actually housed right now in the Kela building, which is the Kenosha Emerging Leaders Academy, okay. which everyone calls the Brown Bank building,
Right?
Okay. This is what I love when I'm not from somewhere, and I'm very rarely from somewhere. People are like, well, you know where the old blah, blah is. And I'm like, no, I have no idea where that is. Yeah. So anyway, I am in the Brown Bank building. Atifa Robinson is the executive director. She is phenomenal, love her, and really enjoy working with her. And that is off of 63rd, right? And so you're seeing buildings come back to life, you're seeing new buildings coming in. And I think as we walk down this path of revitalization, kudos to the leaders who have tried to reimagine what it could be, not just rebuilding what do we need now, but what do we need in the future? And what do we want to make sure that the young people in this community are seeing and experiencing? And this is actually really it's all interesting, but I had an interesting conversation with two young gentlemen, phenomenal, just graduated high school from the area. And one of them said to me, you know, it's great. My whole life that has been empty. And I said, wait a minute, how old are you? But I liked by it. And that's a long time, right? So yeah. So this is a generationally transformational project at Lakeview Academy in January.
Wow.
So huh? Like that's just phenomenal. And we're able to change that.
It's in a couple weeks.
Great.
So we look to partner with them as well.
That's awesome.
And FabLab has kind of spearheaded pre-K and pre-K-4 outreach. So we're really hitting that K through 6. And I think what we see in the trend in the FabLab is that education is on the cusp of changing. And we're thinking of different ways to do it and how to reimagine it and how to get, you know, our youth energized to move into the workforce of tomorrow. And I'm not a proponent of having kids pick careers. I'd rather they find their passions naturally. So something like the Innovation Center is going to kind of reinforce that whole move towards how do we do differently?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I just
got off guard.
I got a quick question for you. The Innovation Center, is that existing now, or is that being built, or is that?
It is currently being built. So concrete is being poured, probably not today, but very soon.
Very soon.
Awesome. And so what are some of the things that we can expect to do in there, and how can people become involved in the Innovation Center?
Great. So what we're looking for right now, or the right mix of tenants and what goes in there, the ideal mix, right, would be some corporate R&D, maybe some IT services firm, but also tech. But that's tech means so many things, just like the word innovation means so many things, right?
Right.
These are highly, you know, we're in conversations about co-working space, so you'd be able to come in and work there and have a, not necessarily a cohort, but you'd have people out of the gate. And I think one of the things that we lost in COVID, or not lost, but one of the things that people really struggled with was that social interaction, right? And how do you do that? And now that so many people still work remote, I think it's so important to be able to step out of your home, even step out of your workspace, and people that do something different. You were talking about art earlier,
yeah.
and all the things, but if you start bringing those people together, right, somebody that's in the art.
People will come in just to use the space for their projects, but you had what you're talking, and that's kind of course, what the Fab Lab does as well. But what you find is that when you superimpose all of these people thinking on things and doing projects, it's a really powerful tool.
Now, the really cool part about what is in
the process of updating it. But the master plan will be residential that'll go up, most likely some multifamily in different areas, along with additional commercial, kind of office use. But then you're going to have some retail fill in there too.
And Kelly, what was that address again? Maybe you could say that for our listeners.
Kenosha.org.
Or if you just Google Kenosha Innovation, it'll pop up.
That's great. Nice. Yeah. How about that?
Exactly. Now, bringing it full circle, it's really cool. A entity.
Yes.
2 decades of his life was really big into these developed neighborhoods and was working very heavily in this type of development that you have there. But you have plans in this master plan for medical facilities. You have plans for commercial. You have plans for residential.
Yes.
You have parks. And
doesn't
so,
that sound terrible? Retention? Nobody wants to retain water anywhere, right? So, yes, I think, you know, the concept, and I think John mentioned it earlier, what do people want? You want a vibrant space, generally in a downtown setting, which this is kind of a, this is a very urban, dense setting. Right. It's like a downtown, but in a different location. And you want, you want to come down and maybe do happy hour, you know, whether that's with a mocktail or the real thing, doesn't matter. But you want to meet your coworkers or your friends that work down the street. And you know, they don't want a car. They want to be able to walk to everything.
Well, the other amazing part about that specific location is that the trolleys run right past there. And the trolleys, you can hop on and see the rest of Kenosha. But then right over, a couple streets over, is the metro station.
Yes.
And the metro station.
The Chicago Metro. That is huge. And everybody should play that up a lot more because it's a huge connectivity piece, right?
Right. And for, go ahead.
Correct. Is that far away?
Racine's like 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 miles.
Right.
Something like that. So. Bars that this actually is. So, okay, great. So the Innovation Center then.
And Scott, just to let you know, rarely in urban development are you given 100+ acres
It's a huge
to play with.
Opportunity.
Right.
You will be, you know, maybe 20 acres here to an entire acreage space.
Yeah,
like
that is awesome. And then the Innovation Center is really geared towards maybe a new thing at the Innovation Center.
That's the hope.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
That we would have a co-working space. You know, our hope is to have a generator that does a cohort for startups where it kind of takes them through a fast accelerator process to teach them the basics of how to launch their startup. So more of that. And bringing out that ecosystem. You know, what's really cool about an entrepreneurial ecosystem, it could be anyone, right? It could be any one of you that I'm talking to, right? And that designer needs somebody that can build what they're designing and thinking in their head, right? Because nobody has all those skill sets.
Right.
And so how do you bring all that together?
Well, that's
when
awesome.
You bring all those people together to
neighborhood coming together, it's really inspirational.
There's even an element above that, and I think that this is kind of true to what everybody together, but the idea is we can do more. We can do. We can connect with the community. We can show the community what's amazing about this city and about other people in it, and that's the heart of what will be happening in the Innovation Neighborhood.
Absolutely, and I think the community engagement part is so important, which is why I'm really excited you all are a part of this project.
Can't wait.
And
can't
having
wait.
All of those amazing tools, and I'm going to call that's just phenomenal.
3D printing is something that really seems to energize people. And I mean, that'd be a whole nother radio segment where we talk about how they've come down in price and kind of changed our reality. But I want to go back to kind of the whole thing that Steve said, where their own potential, explore it with other people that are around and find ways to connect that they hadn't before.
And speaking of connection, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and become involved in this awesome opportunity, how could they reach out and contact you?
Absolutely. The website is the best way. You can reach out on there.
And you can tell our listeners about that website again if you'd like, address.
Thank you. It is kin-kenosha.org. And if you check out the website.
Okay, so thank you so much, /FabLab.
What was that again, John?
That was gtc.edu/FabLab. We want to thank our co-host, Scott. And Kelly, you got anything to say on wrap-up?
Well, just look forward to seeing, and I'm excited to be in Kenosha and really look forward to utilizing all the great assets that are in this community.
Okay, you heard it first here, folks. So Thanks again.
Thanks.
Me and the Fab Lab 10 a.m. show. Thanks for listening.
This is WGTD HD. You're listening to Education Matters. Executive Director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired Professor of Educational Leadership and School Law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, Chair of the Education Department and Associate Professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, Professor of Communications at UW.